Okay, good afternoon. My name is Jim Dingman. I am the chair, outgoing chair of the PNB Programming Committee, and I want to welcome everybody today to the meeting that we're having. I want to first call out the roll call so that we establish who here and who isn't here, and then we're going to go and start the meeting because we will have quorum. So let me start with Shira Gedman from KPFA. Shira, are you here today? Okay, I'm going to mark Shira absent unless she calls in. Jack DeBine from WBAI, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Jack. Janine Etter from KPFA, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Heather Gray from WRFG, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Sabrina Jacobs from KPFA, are you here? Okay, she's not. Wally James from KPFT, are you here? Wally? Wally, I guess you're on mute, Wally. Right, Wally called in a little earlier, so Wally, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
I called Sandy, and he said he'd call in.
Okay, very
good. I did call him, Wally. You made me do it.
I did. I made you do it, man. All right, Michelle Miles from KPFK, are you here? Michelle? All right, Michelle's going to unmute.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, gotcha. Aron Pinchback from WPFW, are you here? Going once, going twice. All right, he's not here. All right, Nancy Barra Naritomi, are you here?
Hi, Barra Naritomi's here.
Thank you, ma'am. Sharon Salon from WBAI, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. Oscar Oyoya from KPFK, are you here?
Yes, here.
Thank you, Oscar. And Paulina Vasilev, have you called in? Are you here? All right, Paulina's not here with us yet. Sandy?
Yes, I...
Yeah, go on, Oscar, what?
Yeah, I tried to pair in two of her phones that I have, and she's not answering, so I'm wondering if she's still trying or something. I'll keep trying in the meantime when an option.
All right, no problem. I guess she's enjoying the beautiful day in Southern California there. Sandy Weinman from KPFT, have you called up yet?
Sandy? I have, present, yes.
Oh, great. So we got, okay. And Ralph Pointer from WBAI, are you there yet? Okay, Ralph's not here yet. And we have, of course, Lucille Perez from WPFW. Are you guys here?
Yes,
Lucille?
I am here.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. And Thomas O'Rourke from WPFW, you are here, of course.
Present, yes.
Very good. Okay, so we have quorum. And I just want to note for the record that Shira, I know, is busy. So someone has to call her up, tell her she has two confirmed not here. And when you hit three, you're out. And I would certainly not want everybody to miss Shira's common sense. So hopefully Shira can call in or somebody can call her up. The same goes with Sabrina. Sabrina Jacobs of KPFA. Somebody has to make sure that she gets informed because she's got two strikes and you're out with three. And that also goes with Ron Pinchback. He has two absences in a row and someone should get to him so, you know, we don't have to mess around with this. And Ralph, I don't know where he is. Paulina, you know, perhaps as the meeting progresses, someone can make a phone call to them. So, welcome.
Jim, can you clarify if those are consecutive absences?
Yes, they are, because the last time we met was a formal meeting. We made sure that we contacted everybody up the wazoo, and they were given sufficient notice. So. And the whole system kicked in, so we haven't had a meeting now for, what, 2 weeks? And the normal, you know, system that KPFTX has been in operation. So these are two formal absences, formal not showing up, as opposed to beforehand. And, you know, my attitude, you guys will run this in the future. My attitude is not to be such a pain in the ass about this, but it does prevent quorum. So that's the main reason why we have to sort of try to stick to this. Okay, so we had an agenda sent out by Nancy, but we have minutes that were sent out by Nancy. Nancy, I mispronounced it. Sabara?
Yes, Sabara. Nadi told me it means west and becoming rich.
Okay, Nancy Sabara Narutomi. Now, Nancy Sabara, as acting as interim secretary, sent out a group of minutes that had to do with the meeting we had last week, 2 weeks ago. I just wanted to move that we approve those minutes. Like a second?
Oh,
anybody?
Second.
What time did she send the minutes out? She sent them out. What time did you send them out, Nancy? The minutes.
What day and time? Let's see. Is it today?
Yes, today. About a few minutes ago. So I don't think they have time to read it.
Oh, you sent the minutes out now?
All right. Well, all right. If you just send it out. Yeah, why don't you send it out again? It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
You know, one can approve it at another meeting. No big deal. And then also, someone asked to volunteer to be the secretary for this meeting, which I know is a lovely task to do. Can I stick it on you again, Nancy, unfortunately, until we get this clarified?
Secretary pro tem, you're asking me? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And remember, you know, unfortunately, the gender division always happens here, so... And I took that role for a year, so we're just going to have to make sure that role, you guys going forward, have to share it. Okay, now I gather that Nancy sent out an agenda that was
no, I didn't.
To be... You did not. Okay, fine.
No, I did not.
You did not. Okay, no
business.
No problem. I sent out
and perhaps
resolutions.
Somebody...
Go on.
I'm sorry.
Go on,
I'm speaking. Someone has maybe wants to add something to agenda today, so we need to welcome.
All right. Well, let's talk about that in a minute. Now, first of all, we have new people here. We have Lucille Perez and Thomas O'Rourke. But what I'd like to do is, since we're sort of getting all to know each other, maybe repeat what we did the last time, which is sort of go around, introduce each other to ourselves, and, you know, sort of say what we're doing here. And for those who already have done this beforehand, maybe we can throw a little new jazzy stuff in there. But I just wanted to sort of go around, just have everybody identify themselves, what station they're with, you know, what they've done and what they see doing in this particular committee. And for those who have already done this, you know, I certainly will throw in some things because it's not like I've retreated into the hinterlands. But let me start with Lucille Perez. Lucille Perez, why don't you just identify yourself?
Do you mind having someone who's been on the committee start? So, you know,
yes.
I don't know how much information you want from me, just to give me kind of a...
All right, fine. Very good. Not to put you on the spot. Very good. Okay, that's fair. All right, well, let me start with, I'll start with myself. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm the outgoing chair of this committee. I've been involved with Pacifica for much too long, several decades. I've been on the local advisory board in the 90s. I was the public affairs staff rep. I was on the program council at BAI. I've been involved with the community advisory board, the LSB, you know, I was involved in the campaign to overthrow the old board. It gets exhausted. I've been on the LSB. I was a programmer in the early 90s. I've been involved in both straight and mainstream media throughout my life. I've been a print journalist. I've been a broadcast journalist. I was on a show that was on Free Speech TV, a TV show for 6 years as one of the main hosts. Lately, I've been working with Otis McClay and others since the COVID-19 crisis began. We set up something called goingviral.news. So we've been doing a virtual 2-hour-a-day show. I've been very intimately involved in the craziness of Pacifica, much too long. And I take this committee very seriously because my feeling is that programming is the most important part of Pacifica. And I take also very seriously the fact that the amount of people who listen to the airwaves has declined. And to me, that is the most important problem to solve, to create a situation where it's going up, not going down. So that's my background. So let me throw it to Jack Devine. Jack, I want to put you on the spot. Why don't you identify yourself, Jack?
I'm Jack Devine. I'm the rep with WBAI. I've been at WBAI for about a year and a half now as a host and producer of Revolutions Per Minute, which is NYC DSA's official show on WBAI. I was elected to the WBAI LSB in November alongside three other organizers that I know, one of the which works on the show with me, and then two listener members. I was elected to this committee earlier this year, and I second what Jim is saying in terms of programming. I think programming is the heart of the station, and it has to be also thinking about in terms of how do we actually directly use like programming and tying in with the growing left media ecosystem, which is outside of the official airwaves, but is also producing a significant amount of audio content and has found innovative ways to fundraise. How do we adapt those strategies into Pacifica as a whole?
Okay, thanks, Jack. Let me move to Janine Etter from KPFA.
Oh, yes. So I'm Janine Etter. I'm a new LSB member on the board in Berkeley. I've been at KPFA for at least 10 years. I'm a host and producer of two programs on the station, Fridays mornings up front, and I have a monthly music show. I'm also the tech producer for the evening news, and I've executive produced many day-long productions on the station. I'm the organizer with the Black Programmers at KPFA, the Mandela Radio Collective. I'm also a writer and an editor. There's a group of us on the local station board. We also are meeting separately from the LSB meetings to talk about things like fundraising, and specifically next month we're going to be meeting about social media and expanding the digital platforms at KPFA. And so I'm very concerned about that and about programming overall within the network in general.
All right. Thank you, Janine. And I should add that the social media stuff is so, so, so important. Heather Gray, and before I bring Heather on, I want to say that it is so important to have affiliates on. I personally think this committee should have 4 or 5 other people from affiliates alongside Heather. But anyway, Heather Gray.
Well, I need to have 4 or 5 other affiliate folks on the committee. I'm an affiliate director on the PNB board. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm with WRFG. That has been around for 47 years, actually, and was inspired thanks to WBAI in New York. So I also have a program on WRFG. It's called Just Peace, basically that there can't be peace in the world without justice. So my work is largely civil rights and human rights issues as far as interviews are concerned. So I don't know where else to go with this. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing my program since 1992. And I, that's probably all I need to say.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. And as I repeat, I do think we really, I actually would propose as a resolution you guys think about to send up to the PNB that we actually, you guys recruit more people from the affiliates because I think it's really valuable. Anyway, Sabrina Jacobs.
I do want to say just a couple of other things, Jim. Forgive me if you don't mind. It'd be
yes,
great
ma'am.
To have more affiliate posts. So just so you all know a little bit about my background, I used to work for Coretta Scott King. I directed the nonviolent program for her in the 1980s. And then most of my work actually has been with black farmers across the South. I was director of communications of the Federation of Southern Cooperatives Land Assistance Fund, which is the primary group in the country working with black farmers. So I'm mentioning that, all that to say that one of the things I would love to see Pacifica doing at some point is addressing economic issues and looking at cooperative economic development, which is what been a lot of my work focusing on. So I just wanted to mention that as food for thought.
And you also mentioned a UN initiative last time we were talking. Could you repeat that to everybody?
Yes. So let me just mention, in 2014, the United Nations came up with a resolution calling for a decade devoted to people of African descent. So the decade will be over at the end of 2024. So here in the South, we now have a group of folks meeting every other week, every other Wednesday, to talk about what issues we want to address as far as the UN decade is concerned, in terms of any number of issues, history, economic issues, reparations, and so forth. So it's been wonderful meetings. I just want to share with you all, it's just been great having this discussion. There's so much important history, of course, as you all would know, about Africa, especially in terms of the South and agriculture and so forth. So, I could talk more forever about that, but I won't do it right now, Jim.
Thanks for
mentioning that. I appreciate that.
No, Noelle, as I mentioned to you, we're definitely going to want to include these kind of ideas in what we're doing. Aldous and I are 100% behind this. All right, let's talk about Sabrina. Sabrina Jacobs, are you there? I'll give you one more chance, Sabrina. I guess you're not here. Sabrina? Okay. All right, Sabrina's not here. All right, Wally James from KPFT.
I'm a programmer. I'm a member of the LSP and the PNB, and I've been on KPFT's program committee years ago, and I was on this committee and wound up dropping off, and I'm glad to be back on it. KPFT is really struggling getting our listenership built back up, and it's really important, something that we all have to do.
Okay, and of course, all of us are being horrified by all the stats of COVID-19 down there, Wally. Anyway, Michelle Manos from KPFK.
Hi, thanks. I'm Michelle Manos, and I'm a newer member of the LSD in Los Angeles. And I was elected to the board about 2 years ago, and for the past year or so, almost a year, I've been serving as the chair of the board. And so I agree with statements about the importance of addressing and growing and updating social media and online presence and content. I think, part of my work has been to find ways to protect our important justice-focused programming and our news department while, reaching out and finding new and innovative ways to connect with the community. I don't subscribe to any of the factionalism that we find ourselves embroiled in sometimes, and I think that it's important that we're always building bridges together to get to what we really want, which is a strong and safe and robust Pacifica. So, the final thing I'll say, I guess, one of the things that really brought me to want to be involved at KPFK again, because I've been in and out of volunteering and different ways of engaging with the station for the last, 10 years or so. But I came to the board because I really have a problem with the programming, the direction that the programming is headed in. I really want to get back to our community reporting, our news department, our cultural programming and the music that people find so so engaging. So that's kind of the mission that I'm on, and I'm excited to see this committee kind of finding its footing again. So thank you. And thanks to Jim.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. I guess I go factionalism? You can't be talking about Pacifica. All right. And Ron Pinchback, are you here from WPSW? Going once, going twice. Okay, he's not here. All right. Nancy Saibara Narotomi from KPSG.
Could you, I just got Sarah on, so she's listening. Sarah, say something, so you can be.
I'm here, sorry, I have a crying baby, so I'm going to definitely be on mute most of the time.
Oh, Sarah, okay, hey, great, sure, great.
Yeah, c'est moi, I know, there's a baby now over here.
I know, you got a kid. Okay, I'll bring you on in a second, Sarah. Okay, Nancy, thank you very much, Nancy. Go on, Nancy.
Okay, so I've got three on my phone. I cannot take anybody else unless I don't know something about my phone. So if we need to get somebody else like Ralph or somebody else, somebody else will have to help.
Very good. All right, well, give us your history.
I did write the introductions that we made last month into the minutes. So if you notice the minutes, then you it might be the same or might be a little bit different. So I want to say something a little different. In December we had about 3,000 members at KPFT, and in the last spring drive we got 389 new members, which were approximately 44% of all the donations. So like almost half the people who donated were new, brand new members. I don't know why that is, and is it happening at the other stations? I wonder, because people are now home and listening to the radio, or maybe they don't want to listen to the TV, or maybe they just know us from a certain show at the drive time, and then they decide to investigate us more. But it's very nice that we now have 3,515 members. So we gained 500 since December. So that I just want to say that, because I just found out just recently. I asked the business manager. So... So something good about COVID. And then I was thinking, our outreach is very much limited now, because we can't go to events or, you know, parades or, you know, all those things are canceled. So, I'm trying to, sew up a banner to do highway blogging, you know, bridges that cross over. We do have one freeway that has around, I think, 7 different bridges, and they allow you 6 foot by 6 foot. Each city has their own rules. What size banner, and then you have to stand by it. And so I was thinking to do green, just like the highway signs, and white letters, and put maybe LED lights on the white letters, because in the early morning in winter it's very dark, and then point it toward the incoming traffic to Houston. Anyway, I just want to put out that idea. Maybe y'all might want to, because long, long, long time ago, that's what they did. They did bed sheets and sprayed paint on them and hung them over highway bridges. They haven't done that in a long time, but I thought I just put that out. I don't know if y'all cities have highways. I guess New York is maybe you have to hang from a building or I don't know. Okay, that's all. Bye-bye. I'm out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. We actually have cars in New York. All right. Sharon Salam from WVAI.
Hi. Well, I'm Sharon Salam. I've been a WBA listener since 1989, I think, or before. And I've been listening to the station and participating in the, well, not in the program, because I'm not a programmer, but I do come on sometime as a guest and speak in various programs. And I like to I am a part of the LSB. And I like to see the station get back to where it used to be, and that is more community outreach, more community programming, more programming that is connected to the various communities that exist within the various cities that we live in. And we need to formalize different plans so that can happen and bring on more listeners, because here at WBAI, we are facing a loss of listenership even though, you know, you gain some and you lose some. So we have to figure out how to improve the programming and other things so that more people know that the station exists, because as I go around traveling and I ask about WBAI, a lot of people today don't even know there is such a channel. And we've all got to get beyond that so people start knowing who we are and start figuring out how we can do it so it will work more progressively. Right now we are in a lot of debt at the station, and I'm assuming that a lot of your stations are in debt as well, and trying to figure it out how to get beyond the debt. And we're trying to work on that in a number of different ways as we move forward to try to get beyond this pandemic that we're living in, so that we can start moving further out and reaching more people hand-to-hand and talking to them face-to-face and bringing them more and so involved. I got involved in the station in 1989, as I said earlier, when my son, Yusuf, was accused of raping the Central Park jogger, and I've been a listener ever since.
All right, thank you, Sharon. Oscar Oyoya from KPFK.
Hey, good morning. Oscar Oyoya. I know it's going to be really crazy for people to get my last name, so I just send my Oscar. I actually appreciate getting the kind of like the legal bio for what we were talking about and before. Pretty much, I have a really limited experience on committees, on working at this level. I am pretty much a community kind of organizer, hands-on guy. So the reason, that is exactly what kind of brought me to KPFK, from being just a guest at some point to then a programmer that we run the community affairs show every Tuesday here in KPFK, and we're being lucky to have the finger pretty much on a lot of other activists, which are pretty much getting most of the news and actually most of the all the actions that you see in the Los Angeles area and around. Pretty much is for people who kind of gravitate to the world that we're trying to bring from the street to the airways, so people know, so people get involved. We've been really, really happy on kind of being the forefront of, you almost say, sometimes either breaking news as exactly as that. Unfortunately, my feeling is that In most of the stations, in my case of KPFK, but I'm pretty sure that all along the rest of the people, there is not a sufficient or really good thought out program running in order to pretty much just bring the voices from the street. And that's exactly one of the things that we're kind of working right now. So how can we get pretty much that work into the airways of all of the stations, and of course bring membership and interest and listenership.
All right, thank you, Oscar. Is Paulina there? Paulina Vasilev, are you on the phone call now? Paulina? Okay, I guess Paulina isn't here today. All right, Sandy Weinman, are you there? Sandy? Is that you, Sandy? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Sandy's... Sorry about that.
Yeah, go on, Sandy. Go on, man.
Yeah, having phone difficulty as in operating the phone. I'm a 41-year listener to KPFT, a 23-year programmer on KPFT, Grateful Dead-oriented shows now Saturday afternoons. And over the years, I've done many benefits for the station and consider, even though a lot of people object to music or might have problems with it on Pacifica, it raises the little money that KPFT is now getting. So I look at that as an opportunity every week to raise money for the station. The first 6 years that the new LSB was in vogue, I was on the board, I ran the program council, KPFT chaired it, I should say, for 3 years. We made a lot of progress. We evaluated every program. Ran again this last time because I just feel we're in a lot of trouble in Houston, elsewhere in the network, and was hoping to get a little closer and be able to help. I think the this committee has a wonderful opportunity to assess what raises money the best at each of our stations and possibly form some kind of national programming schedule around those maybe five shows or so. Anyway, thank you, and I appreciate everybody volunteering, and I look forward to working with you.
Okay, thanks, Sandy. Ralph Pointer, Ralph is not there. I'll try to call Ralph when we get a little pause here. Ralph, are you there? Okay, Ralph is in here. Lucille Perez from WPFW.
Well, I am glad to be part of this committee. I'm also new to the LSB. I have never done programming, but I believe in radio. I believe that it is critical with the news stations, the I call it news magazine stations, that don't give us the comprehensive view that I think that we need. I've always been a listener to listener-supported radio, both now in the DMV and when I lived in New York. And I hope my background is in healthcare, and we need the information. We need honest information. And I am willing to use what has been put in me to help my brothers and sisters.
All right. Thank you, Lucille. Thomas O'Rourke.
Chair?
Yes.
Nancy, I have a question. The last few words, I did not hear what Lucille said.
Lucille, do you want to repeat that?
I believe in that we are God's plan A, and there's no plan B, and as much of me that I can give to others, I'd like to do it. That's not exactly what I said, but I thank you.
All right, thank you, Lucille. Thomas O'Rourke.
Yeah, hi everyone. I am a listener member at PFW and have been on the station board. This is my second stint. I was on it a couple of years ago for a period of just a year. I've been volunteering on the program committee on the interim as well. I've been listening to PFW, as I say, since returning to Washington, D.C. After coming here for college, I left for a few years, and since 85, so I'm familiar with its a long history of its programming. In fact, I volunteered while in grad school later on a monthly labor show with a local labor leader. I was a reporter, so I had some early programming experience. I delivered some reports on air. I then became a history teacher in the local school system. I was an active union member, union critic. I'm sort of semi-retired now from DC, from the school system, because I have another grievance pending with them. Let's put it this way. So I'm very familiar with educational issues. We experienced Michelle Reed in, on the ground. Hello?
Yeah, I can't hear you, Thomas.
Yeah, anyway, I'm currently volunteering as a programmer by hosting occasionally the local station board monthly show we have here, which is a question I want to ask the entire body. Does everyone have a monthly LSB show? And also reporting and historical research for On the Ground. Some of you may know that show, Esther Rivera. I know she is heard on BAI, but she produces it locally here. And I'd say in the last couple of years, I've become very interested in progressive possibilities of social media, just from listening to, you know, some of the YouTube channels and Jimmy Dore and the Gray Zone, and I noticed Pacifica is becoming attuned. I heard Lee Camp on one of the COVID shows last week and was pleased, and I hope we can figure out ways. People are talking social media as a cross-fertilization that should be explored, both grabbing their programming with their permission and exposing them and exposing possibly a Pacifica. One of my interests in local programming has been at PFW is to increase the amount of public affairs. We are, we have an evening drive time dearth of public affairs. It's mostly, it's hit or miss. And I'd like to, I want to listen, of course, to people and their solutions, but I have some, local concerns that I want to, share with the board, in the near future as to how to improve programming here and to, sort of integrate and synthesize programming across the network. And I'm also, last thing, I volunteered for the Affiliates Committee, Ms. Gray, but I haven't heard anything, so I'd be appreciative if I would be invited to the next Affiliates meeting. And that's all I'll say for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Jim, information. Jim, information, Oscar, I think I have a Paulina on the line. Looks like she was also having trouble getting there.
Paulina,
yes,
are you there?
This is Paulina. I'm here.
Oh, hi, Paulina.
Hey,
hi,
Paulina.
Hi,
okay.
Just
in time. Yeah, why don't you join in, Paulina? Tell us your history.
I'm Paulina Vasiliev. I am a volunteer programmer at KPFK. By the way, Thomas, I'm glad you liked Lee Camp on the COVID show. That was the show that I produced, and I said, why don't we
hear it? It was excellent. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. It was a labor of love and a collective effort. And we're on hiatus for now, I think. But we're hoping to continue producing. So we can talk about details later. But anyways, I'm on the PNB as a staff representative. And I'm a programmer, and I'm just kind of recovering from the stretch of 1 month of working with other stations and with affiliates on national programming. It was a lovely experience, crazy. It was a miracle. I don't know how we pulled it off because pretty much there was no budget. And we all did it with sleepless nights and minimal resources, but it was a great experience to be able to work with others to get to know programmers at other stations and their material also and their capacity and build future relationships. So I'm interested in talking about that and seeing how we can really make some kind of national programming a reality all across the network. And I don't know what I'm trying to say right now. I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Paulina. The only thing I wanted you to say was, what's the winning lottery number today? But I guess you don't have that. Okay. So let's go to Shira. Now, Shira Dedman, can you unmute? And what's your child's name, Shira?
Kairos.
What's his name?
Kairos.
Or her name? Oh, wow, great.
It's a him.
Nice to see you.
It's a him, Kairos.
It's a him, I see. And you're back from Arkansas?
No, I'm actually still here. I'm in the middle of moving, but we'll see where. I think, when we first moved here, for those who don't know, I'm here representing KPFA. I was living in Oakland, but almost
about 11 months ago, moved to Arkansas, and was planning on going back to California, but now, no. Post-COVID, everything has changed. And in terms of programming, one of the things I had actually hoped to do while I was here was to talk to the Pacifica affiliate here in Fayetteville. I never got around to doing that. But in terms of, I guess we were talking about programming goals. I would say that I don't really have any. I think that right now, I guess the best way of putting it is, having been on the programming committee, I guess for a little over a year now, and just seeing that, Pacifica's, structure is highly, problematic, I guess is the word, that I guess for the programming committee, my goals aren't so much what our programming goals are for, you know, our stations or nationally, but rather that, we first reach the goal of becoming a, functioning committee that can hopefully support a, in a very good way, a dysfunctional, that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Shira, and it's great to hear you. Okay, so...
Wait, what is her name?
Shira Dedman.
Okay, thank you.
And
I think she's saying Shira.
Is that what you said?
No, I'm saying Shira. Shira Dedman. Oh, yeah. No, it's Shira.
Shira, okay.
Shira. Shira, and just repeat, what's your son's name?
his name is Kairos.
Okay, great. All right, well, that's always fun. Little kids are always great fun. Okay, so we sort of did a little overview of everybody, where we're coming from. One of the things, actually, Shira introduced to this committee, which we decided to repeat every meeting when we began it, is to have everybody from each signal area sort of do a little report as to what's going on. And so let's continue that, because I think it's sort of useful. And I will start with the people in PFW, Lucille and Thomas O'Rourke there. Can you guys just give a little pressy update as to where PFW is at, how you guys are doing?
Lucille, do you want to go first? I can talk.
Go ahead. You can
talk. Okay. I'm sure I'll have someone that would disagree with me from here, but I want to say I've been on the programming committee for 3 or 4 years now, and I'm sort of the vice chair at the moment, and we've had a very difficult time getting Katia Stitt, who is the program now, officially the permanent program director. She was made the permanent program director in roughly April of this year, after about a 5-year stint, 5 to 6 years as the interim programmer director. She doesn't attend meetings. She doesn't come to the LSB meetings, and she has not interfaced with the program committee in a number of years, and that's been a frustration for us. So whatever programming she's doing, we find out about it after the fact. We question. Now, the general manager, Jerry Paris, does come to LSB meetings, most of the time. There was an incident last month, but he was here the most recent month, and gives a general manager report. He does answer some questions about programming, but that's been our frustration. And so that was one of my questions I was going to raise to the board. How common is it for program directors in your station and their areas to not be involved? Because ours claims she is not obligated to, that she's... So, and the other thing is, I recently, as a result of a decision of hers to suspend the Jay Winter Night Wolf show, which is called the American Indian Most Dangerous Show on the Radio. Has anyone heard it?
No.
Well, he was here for a long time. He's been suspended as a result of an internal dispute with her over the notion of community gifts.
All right, Thomas.
I'm getting into weeds, I know.
We shouldn't be talking about personal stuff.
Okay.
Just talk policy stuff, okay? Please,
let me ask you this. How many of you have in place a programmer bill of rights or a grievance and complaints procedure there at your stations? That's a question I have. And can anyone comment on the idea of raising money on behalf of, say, for example, the Pine Ridge Reservation, the Navajo Nation, here in this time of COVID, and that money be split in basically half and half, 50-50, as opposed to some other financial arrangement? Those are questions that have come up with us recently. I'm sorry to mention individuals about that. We are, of course, Jazz and Justice. That's our slogan. Like I said earlier, I find there's a problem with evening drive public affairs. Most of the public affairs is morning and afternoon. The weekends are very popular here with Caribbean music and, American Songbook, and then Latin hours throughout Saturday and Sunday. And the nights are generally, straight ahead or modern jazz, that sort of thing. So that's sort of a general look at that. But like I said, there's problems, and for me, the biggest problem is not having any communication with our program director or any input. So I'm done.
So Thomas, right? That's your first name?
Yes, sir.
Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay, Thomas, what was those, just so as we go ahead, the points you raised were the question of an LSB show that happens on a monthly basis. That was
wanted to know if that's common there.
We'll get to that later. And then the question of communications, of program council functioning at each station, another issue you raised. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
And then what was the third issue you raised?
A bill of rights of some sort for programmers who, of course, are not covered under union contracts, since most of them are volunteers.
We can talk about
programmer bill of rights and maybe a grievance procedure.
All right, grievance procedure. All right. And what were the other points you raised with us? I think there was something about...
In terms of fundraising, apparently the IRS doesn't like, one fundraiser taking 50% of an entire fundraising package and only giving 50% to, the stated target. But we've been told there's such a thing as a community gift program in which someone claims the Pacifica attorneys have signed off on this. As a way.
We can talk about that later. I think I know what you're talking about. Okay. So, Lucille, what do you want to add to this?
I am very interested in what we do with social media. I think the issue of racial justice, white supremacy, reparations, I think it's an opportunity for listener-supported radio to actually galvanize and organize and tell the truth. So I'm very excited about what we can do with that type of programming.
Okay, thank you. All right, let me go to KPFA. Let me start with Janine Etter. Janine, what kind of report do you want to give on what's going on out there in the Bay Area?
Well, I'm actually not prepared to give any type of a specific report. I definitely would
do my homework and do better for the next meeting. I mean, generally, I can say that we had our spring fund drive that was successful. We had a town hall yesterday, and our LSB meeting. We voted on proposed bylaws amendments, working on manager evaluations. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to share in a report. I don't have anything prepared, but that's off the top of my head all I can say really generally, unless anyone has any questions.
Yeah, I have a question. Have you? How much money did you guys raise in the last fund drive? Do you have any idea, sure numbers?
I don't.
All right, don't worry about it.
I can get that to you while we're. I'm gonna look at my email to find it. But we did. We went over our goal. I do know that. But I'll find it for you.
All right. Very good. All right, do you have any other comments? Anybody else have any questions that you need? Okay. Shira, what would you like to add to this discussion, Shira?
Hi, nothing at the moment. Thank you, though.
Okay, good. All right, very good. Wally James and Sandy down in Nancy down in Texas, why don't we first start with Wally?
Wally, are you muted?
All right. Well, Nancy, why don't you jump in? Hold tight, Wally. Called. Let Nancy start. All right, Nancy?
Yeah. Let Sandy go? Because I already spoke a lot.
Well, trust me, you've got a lot of people on this phone call who talk a lot all the time, so don't worry, Nancy. You can jump in there. What else would you want to add to what you said, Nancy?
Let me see. Well, we're starting to do remote live broadcasting. We had an execution, I think it was Wednesday. We hadn't had one for 5 months, and there's a backlog of people to kill. And so we always do that show live, and we were lucky. We didn't miss an execution because of COVID-19. So that one was done Wednesday with Otis's help. So thank you, Otis McClay. And our local engineer, and so we had people at the death house in Huntsville, and other lawyers and that speak on it, and then an activist all glued together, connected together. So that was good. So we're starting to do remote broadcasting, and the prison show has call-ins, and so people can call in from. Some people call from Europe or Japan, and they give a shout-out to their friends, so that's working. Otherwise, everything is pre-record you're doing. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Wally, are you unmuted? Wally
Nancy,
James?
A question?
Yes, go on, Thomas.
Who did the state of Texas kill?
His name was Billy Wardlow, and he committed, it was a botched-up, stealing a truck, and he shot the guy that owned the truck, and he was 18 years old, and we executed him at the age of 42 last Wednesday, and he was called a model prisoner, and he was doing extra things all the time, very popular, a lot of people were angry, and they have this activist group, anti-execution group at the death house, and then there's these police with their motorcycles, and they rev up their engines and so that the protesters cannot hear themselves speak. And it's like a fight. And then there's police in between trying to keep the two groups apart. So all of this, plus the witnesses in the death chamber witnessing, all of these people were exposed to COVID-19 just to kill somebody. And it costs about $2 million per execution because the appeals process is extremely expensive. And it would cost just like $700,000, or maybe it's now $800,000 for maintenance fee for 40 years. So we're really wasting a lot of money just to kill people.
And we got a whole lot more coming up, a backlog. Anyway, I hate to say things like this, but that show, the lawyers tell people the misrepresentation or the lack of defense investigation and stupid things that Texas believes in, like the law of third parties. If you're sitting in the getaway car and something goes wrong in the bank and your friends or your colleagues kill somebody, you also get, you're in the getaway car. You didn't participate, but you also get the death penalty. So, and then we have a lot of people who are executed who have below 68 in IQ. And the Supreme Court says they think it's cruel and unusual punishment, but they leave it to the state. You know, so they wash their hands and leave it to the states to decide. I'm sorry, I'm getting on a little jag here. That's all.
You drew a very, very clear picture. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Nancy. Wally James, you want to talk about the state of KPFG? Molly?
Wally?
Are you there, Wally?
Are you muted?
He's obviously muted. All right. Sandy Weinman, do you want to jump in? Sandy?
Sure, thank you. Well, our last fund drive drew a little over $100,000 gross. We have some expenses on that, and many of the pledges, about 40%, were made on a monthly basis or ongoing basis. So in terms of cash, KPFT will run out of cash at the beginning of August. We are planning to go into another drive at the end of July. It's really important that we have live engagement on the air. I was pleased to see that that one program, Execution Watch, got permission to go live remote. So this is going to be, quote, new for KPFT, but essential come fund drive. So that's a very positive step. We continue to struggle mightily with listenership. I think Nancy mentioned something like 3,300 members. 10 years ago, we had as many as 9,000 members. So we're losing listenership. Our programming is really, a lot of it's repeated because the building's locked. People can't get in. They're not producing from home. So weekday online connections, if you all look at the Pacifica Streams site, weekday connections peak maybe at about, oh, maybe 90 listeners, 100 listeners, and that's one program that airs from 9 to noon, a very popular music program that drew 23% of our funding last drive. And then Saturdays, we get 3 times the engagement of weekdays, and Sundays, 4 times the engagement. Sundays is blues, and Saturday is a variety of music programs. So that's kind of where we stand. We've got problems. We're missing the boat in Houston. We're in a new revolution here. A good time to be alive in many ways, and the worst time to be alive in many ways. And we are just not on point. We're passing by a tremendous opportunity. Programming is a problem. We have an interim general manager that...
Hello?
Well, we're looking for a new one, and I won't go into details, but we need significant improvement in our programming. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And Wally James. Wally? Wally?
That's Wally.
Wally James? Are you there, Wally? Okay, Wally's not here. Okay.
I remember it was Wally that made me get on the call.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess he's watching football or something like that. Paulina, you have a question, Paulina?
This is Paulina. Yeah, I had a question for KPFT. KPFT doesn't have a program director currently, I believe, right? So there's no PD. How are programming decisions being made? And when you mentioned that you finally got permission to broadcast remotely, my understanding was that it wasn't so much about permission as more about capacity or.
That's a good question. We're deficient with staff. In fact, one of our two, we only have 2 people that were operating the station. That's it, 2, that were day-to-day operations. One of them just resigned, so we're down to 1. We don't have a program director. Programming decisions, as far as I know, are made
uniquely by our interim general manager. But over the 7-8 months that Judon Boney has been with us, I don't think we've made any more than 2 or 3 program changes. And I think everybody's just waiting now to get a permanent general manager. So that's where we are. We're in a world of hurt, and again, passing by a golden opportunity.
Wally, have you unmuted yet or come back on the phone
yeah.
call?
Can you hear me okay? Okay. I was having trouble getting dropped off, so hopefully I'll make it through this. A lot of what I had to say, Sandy and Nancy has covered. Those of us that are on the air are doing it because we're having to record our programs at home, edit them and get them on the air, send them in, and then they're put on the air. And there are just a number of the shows that haven't been able to do that. In some cases, it's, you know, people that haven't been able to buy the equipment that they need to do it or just don't know how to do it. And so it's been a real struggle until we can get a full lineup of people back on the air. We're going to struggle with fundraising, and the fact that we're not broadcasting live makes it really hard for all of us. You have to record your show several days in advance, and things, you know, just change and what's going on in the country. And even if what you have on a timely guest, you know, something can drastically change in just a few days. And we need to get programming back on the air. That is our number one priority, and it will help a lot with fundraising too. I guess that's about all I have to add. So much of what I was going to say has already been covered.
Yeah, everything these days changes every hour. It's quite unusual times we're living in. All right, let's go to KPFK. We have Michelle, Oscar, and Polina, whichever order you guys want to do. Polina, you want to start? Polina, are you there? Unmute. All right, while Polina's doing that, Oscar, you can you unmute? Oscar? Michelle, can you unmute? Whichever guy unmutes first.
Hey, Jim, this is
yeah.
Oscar, and I have Polina through my phone. I think Michelle dropped out, so pretty much I guess you guys were calling for KPF. KPSK, so I will ask Polina to see if she can queue in. Polina?
All right, why don't you start, Oscar? Just start and you get Polina.
Okay, Polina. Yeah, Polina, we're trying to get us a report from KPSK. If you you want to start?
Sure. So KPSK had a dismally unsuccessful fund drive, the last one. It was very long. It was a soft fund drive for over a month and a half, I believe, which meant that programming was not preempted for necessarily across the board for fund drive programming, but programmers were expected to do pitches to 3 times an hour. And that was not, that didn't bring as much money. I think we raised probably half. half of our goal, so 300,000 is what was raised finally. And I don't really know what the plan is. We haven't had a meeting post fund drive to hear from management and from RPD what they plan to do and how they plan to remedy it, but hopefully that will be forthcoming. And let's see what else. Our station is open, and people do go in to do their shows live. But and you know we're supposed to wear personal protective equipment, masks, and things like that, gloves. I don't know if everybody's following that. In any case, it seems like. there's not a lot of communication going on between management and programmers. I really like the idea that Thomas proposed of having a programmer's bill of rights, a volunteer programmer's bill of rights. We don't have a programming council at KPFK, and we don't have a community advisory board. Currently, as far as I know, it hasn't been convened. We've been talking about it at the local, at the LSB level, but I don't think it's been implemented. Let's see what else is important to mention. Let's see. Well, we, our fundraising model is not working because apparently, well, basically, Christine Vosdale is the one that does most, raises the most money with health and spirituality high-end premiums, and I think that's pretty much everybody who needed a boku or whatever else, you know, she's offering, must have already quote-unquote purchased it. So we are also at a crossroads, at a crucial point where things need to be reevaluated and revamped, and I agree with the previous comments that we just heard, that we're living at a time where it's an effervescent time, really, and we shouldn't be missing missing out. You know, we should be riding the flow of the wave of excitement, and with everything that's going on, we should be more relevant. We should be covering issues in the community, on the street. Obviously, it's, with COVID, it's an issue, but really, you know, Things need to be reevaluated for sure to bring KPFK back to relevance again. That's KPFK. I think that's it. Or if Oscar wants to add something, I don't know who else is on the call from KPFK.
Yeah, Oscar, pretty much. Oscar. Yeah, most of the what Paulina was saying, pretty much we concur.
All right, and Michelle, are you on the call, Michelle? All right, Michelle obviously isn't there. Thomas, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Whoever said about KPFK, the fundraising model isn't working, that was Paulina? You said your biggest fundraiser is a health show with some high-value premiums. Could you explain that a little more?
Sure. Basically, our biggest fundraiser is a health show that that really is not, doesn't bring in our regular audience for public affairs, right? People tune out because it's a health show. It's, you know, it's about how to get rid of your wrinkles, or how to live forever, or how to become rich all of a sudden.
No,
you know what? Gary Null raises a lot of money as well at night, in the nighttime. I think our nighttime show puts on Null, but it's not Gary Null. It's Christine Rosdale, right? And basically, she just gets a lot of time on the air during fun drives, and now off fun drive time also. But it's, you know, it doesn't seem to be working as well as it should, given the times when she airs, which is drive time. There should be a lot more response, a lot more listenership, and a lot more money raised. But it's just not, you know. But then again, if the answer when we question, what do we do about it? We get the following answer: well, if not this, then what? We got to get weaned off of her, right? We got to get weaned off of that programming. Although there is a consensus, I think. With the good part of our local station board, and that we don't want to depend on health and spirituality premiums, high-end, high-value packages to sustain our operations, there isn't really anything being implemented that is different, right, that would to help us raise funds through our regular programming, our public affairs, our music, etc. So that's it. Yeah.
All right. Any other comments to these guys? Anybody? And Michelle Manos, are you on the phone call or gone? All right. I'm just going to make a quick comment about this. This issue I've listened to argued about for 30 years. The question of, do we depend on money from health premiums and spirituality shows, or do we depend on public affairs programming? I frankly have not seen any kind of concentration of energy to solve this problem for several decades. And that goes for New York, that goes through the entire network. At one point, Gary Null, in the early 90s, was bringing in 50 to 60% of the gross revenue for WBAI. He no longer brings those kind of totals in. But again, these issues were debated and argued about, moaned about, screamed about, yelled about in the early 1990s. So again, this is a dilemma that has to be resolved, especially now with everything going on, because the public affairs shows never, in my experience over the past 30 to 40 years, never bring in the amount of revenue that is commensurate with the amount of airtime they share. Anyway,